Wonderful to have everyone here with us today. I just wanted to say special thanks to Travis and Amy coming down from Grand Prairie. The ladies' tea yesterday was amazing. I didn't get any of it, but I heard it was fantastic. But thank you for coming and sharing. And Brian and Val, thank you. Brian's going to share in a moment. But here's what we'd like to see happen. As Brian shares the word briefly, profoundly, powerfully, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as he finishes, and then I'm going to ask the two couples that we're going to pray for today to come and join me, and then Travis and Amy are going to share a word and speak to, what's your name again, Brett? No, my daughter. I know her name. Melanie and PJ, and then Brian and Val can share a word just for Eric and Candace. And then there'll be a moment I'm going to have all the elders come, and then there's a couple of folk who would just like to say a word for the couples, and then we'll just lay our hands on and pray heaven comes down. Amen? So that's what's going to happen, Lord willing, unless the glory falls and we all just worship and we stay here as long as we want. But Brian, why don't you come and share? I just want to, as you're coming, just put this out there because I'll probably forget it later. But we're having a potluck after, and food, and we've ordered some food, and people have been bringing food. And so what we're asking, because we cannot sit down and dine for everybody, we have some tables and chairs, and we're just asking, the kids know their program, but just ask that the tables be for those who are senior, those who need to sit, those who have weak knees, like Brian. I know what he's doing back there. I was going to beat you to it, but the feeble and the halt and the lame can have a place. Now, just to honor and our guests and just to make room. So is that okay? In case I forget later. But you wouldn't want to be those ones at the banquet to be told, could you please move? No. Bless you.
Don't be that person.
Oh, praise the Lord and good morning.
Morning.
Wonderful to be here on such a beautiful, special day and to have the honor of sharing the Word of God this morning as we be part of the service ordaining PJ, yep, that's it, Peter and Melanie and what's your name? No, Eric and Candace, and just such beautiful couples, both of them so special to us and to you, I know, and to God. So it's an honor. It's one of those kind of really special times when God is doing something unique. And in today's world, I don't have to tell you this, but just to start out with, today's world, the dark clouds of the final kingdoms are rolling in and all kinds of strange things are unfolding. It's a time when the world is really changing. Like I was sharing with some people the other day in mission, the world is changing rapidly and it's a different place and different way you have to approach it. And these are special and unusual times. And it calls for men and women who are called of God, who are committed to it for life and at all cost. And I enjoyed the prayer time this morning, the words of encouragement and prophetic words that were shared. And they lined up right exactly with where we're headed this morning in the Word of God. God is at work and God is doing something new. It's a special day. I like Jesus' words when he said in Luke 12:35, and that'll be part of what we're talking about this morning, but stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And so what I'll be looking at this morning, especially with the two couples in mind, but all of us in mind, is two kind of major themes. One is lose your life. And the other is stay awake. And those are two commendations or recommendations or teachings of Jesus to those who want to follow him. And I love Jesus' book on leadership. There's a lot of books out there, some of them good, some of them useless. But Jesus' book is really good on leadership. And we're not looking just for someone to administer a church program or kind of fill up an office or... But men and women who know God, who know Jesus, who know the Word of God, who are led and empowered by the Spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of God. And if we're filled with that, then we can give leadership. We can bring the church where it's supposed to go. The prophetic word that I had, and I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but once in a while God shows me things. And this, when I was praying about this for both couples and just for us and the church and all of us, but especially the two of you, you're stepping into the unknown. In, like we all are, because we don't know what another day will bring forth in some ways, but this is especially unique time, and we don't know what another day is going to bring forth. We don't know how the church is going to grow. We don't know what God's got in mind. I sense all kinds of amazing good things in spite of all the bad things that the world is facing. God is doing amazingly special and good things. So you're stepping into the unknown. You don't know where this is going. But you're stepping into the unknown with somebody you know very well. Yeah. And put your trust in him, your faith in him, and step out. And that was a lot of what was shared this morning. Step out, step into it, and embrace it. That's the best place to be, is stepping into the unknown with Jesus. And knowing him, and knowing his word, and knowing what he's saying, but not knowing what lies ahead. Jesus said, learn of me. And that's what I want to focus on just briefly. Briefly, I noticed that in there. A couple hours? No. Jesus said, learn of me. And then two primary principles that I mentioned, lose your life and stay awake, were two of the major things that he emphasized very heavily, not just touching on passing, but were main themes of what he shared and what he taught and what he led his disciples in and what he modeled himself. And if I want to be a leader in the house of God, in fact, all of us should follow it, but leadership to lead others in that direction, we need to take that to heart very deeply. And it can sound difficult. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So the first point, lose your life. And he goes on again in the same book, Matthew 16:25, and says it again, anybody who would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake will find it. And as I've thought of this many a time over the years, but as I was thinking of it just preparing for this morning, thinking, you know, someone might think, boy, that sounds like a hard saying, or, you know, lose your life. And he goes on to explain what that means, and it's pretty serious. But I thought, you know, what is it that I lost to find? And 70 years of hindsight can help. Looking back, what did I lose? Or what are you going to lose when you lose it all? And for me, knowing who I was, my friends and who I was hanging with and the peers and so on when I got saved at 21, what I lost would have been drunkenness. That was a big one to give up. Probably alcoholism, drug problems, family breakdown, just thinking of all my friends and who I was with, most likely divorce, possibly prison, and a good shot at early death. And then after all that fun, hell. That's a high price to pay, eh? For what I found. Yeah. The life I found. I won't even begin to start on what I found. It's beyond description, the fullness, and it's still going, and it's only entering into eternity will show the fullness of it. Yeah. So when Jesus said, lose it to find it, yeah, it's not a hard saying. It's the very opposite. It's a life-giving, yeah, refreshing, come into life invitation. Yeah. Leave behind death and come into life. Yeah. And that is such a beautiful place to be. But it is challenging. It costs you. And so that's the part that we have to take seriously is. And so Jesus goes on in his teaching, and in Luke 9:57, he said, somebody came to him and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So if where you lay your head is really important to you, more than obedience to what God calls you into, it won't work. And I've laid my head in a lot of strange places. But one thing I do, I take my own pillow. So I know where, no. If that's so important, where you live, the house you're in, the conditions that you're living in, if that is like first place, you're not going to make it. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And yet another, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, there is no first let me. God is calling me. God is ordaining you, drawing you into his. There's no first let me do this and then. That is the absolute. He goes on in Luke chapter 14 and he said, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, there's a few of my, no. I have a few of those that I hate, no. Just kidding, I love them all deeply, especially Leonard. But he said, if anyone doesn't hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So when he said lose your life, he's talking about lose your life. Like, and you can discuss all of what that all means in detail, but whoever does not, he goes on to say, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on, gives a few lessons. Who builds a tower and doesn't count the cost, so he gets halfway through building it and he can't finish it? Or starts a war, and halfway through it, he can't win it. Starts and doesn't finish. And he concludes that little section with, so therefore, anyone who does not renounce all, he cannot be my disciple. And he concludes that with, that is what salt that has no taste is. The one who first let me, the one who I will, but the one who starts to build, but this is too expensive, I can't continue. The one who enters the war, but can't win it. Salt, it's leadership that steps back. And someone shared this morning up there, like, step into it, like, over the precipice, into the unknown. And not step back, shrink back. I remember somebody when I was in Bible school and I was a new convert full of zeal, and the young guy in college with me said, well, you're lucky, you are a carpenter. And I was half-baked carpenter, but a carpenter. And I said, what do you mean? Well, if the ministry doesn't work, you got something to fall back on. And I was outraged at him. Shut up. This is not if it doesn't work. There's no falling back here. Like, this is life. And that's it. Renounce all. Go there. Do that. And that's it. There is no second option. And Jesus, again, I quote him. He said, learn of me. Yeah. And then he told that beautiful passage about he was lowly and humble. You know, just a side thought. Jesus was the highest authority. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, he said. And he's the one who bent down and picked up a little child, blessed them, talked with them. He's the one who said, I'm gentle and lowly. Lowly means I'm not looking for position, title, some big thing of pride. He was lowly. the highest authority of all, and the most humble of all. And here's the lesson. You cannot rise any higher in authority, God's authority, real authority, spiritual authority, healthy authority, than you will go down in genuine spiritual humility and humbleness and lowly like Jesus. Learn of Jesus. He uses the example, I don't have time to go into it this morning, but of children so many times. And unless you'll receive this child, in my name, you don't receive me. And if you don't receive me, you don't receive my Father. And I just thought of it, you know, some king, some prime minister, some president, whatever, or anybody of stature, we receive them. Come in, sir. But unless you'll receive the little child, and the same, like, come in, sir. He teaches so many beautiful things, and they're so rich, and they're so opposite of the world's teaching on everything. And they're so opposite to our human nature, and that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the second part of the teaching that I wanted to emphasize this morning is stay awake. And again, it's a theme Jesus, when I started looking at it, I was surprised how often and how much Jesus builds this theme into his teaching with his disciples and his leaders. And in the dark days that we're in, over and over, this needs to be focused on. Stay awake. He said it in those words, stay awake. He said, I'm coming like a thief, stay awake. We used to preach on that a lot in the good old days, about coming like a thief. We didn't know what we were talking about most of the time, but it made a good sermon. But here he's talking about stay awake, like the awake. The picture of awake is you're in your home and you're sleeping and a thief comes and takes something and he's gone and you wake up in the morning like, didn't we have a car in the driveway last night? Like, it's gone. You know nothing is going on. You're oblivious to what's going on. I look at the world today and I'm seeing all kinds of things and I see so many Christians and even Christian leaders when you talk with them sometimes. It's like oblivious. Wait a minute, I'm not trying to stir everybody into being whatever the phrase we like to use, conspiracy theorists or something, but the coming of Jesus is not a conspiracy theory. And our eyes had better be awake, but not only on his coming, the theme is stay awake in your life, be awake, live awake, always awake, hearing what God is saying, seeing what God is doing, open to an opportunity to touch some situation. Our ears and our eyes open because we're awake. Asleep means you're not in touch with what's going on around you. Yeah. And I remember one time we were babysitting Doug and Jess's kids when they were little and they were gone for a few days. And in the night, just on the street outside the house where they were, across the street, a drug bust went on or something and there was gunfire and every kind of thing going on. And they heard it on the news, and they called me the next morning. What happened? Are your kids okay? And I said, what do you mean? Well, there was gunfire right out. Was there? Oh, I didn't hear anything. Gunfire isn't all that strange maybe to us, but it's like you're asleep, you know nothing. They could have shot us and stole the car, and I'm just... And Christians can be like that. God is at work, and things are happening, and we're just asleep. Slumber, not alert, not aware, not in touch, not in tune with what God is doing. And throughout his teaching, from start to finish, Jesus keeps using that phrase, stay awake because I'm coming like a thief. And if you're not awake, I'm going to come like a thief. And that means you don't pick up on what's going on. And I can go deeper into that, but I won't. Like a thief in the night, Jesus uses the phrase to believers. Now understand, he's not talking to believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers are dead. To the believer, awake or asleep? Be awake. Be awake. Stay awake means keep our focus. It means keeping living every day with the awareness of what God is doing, as we said, hearing his voice, the Spirit, opening the Word to us, learning, growing, all of the beautiful things, and discerning. And Jesus said, the ones who are awake are the blessed ones. And he says that over and over. Those two things, stay awake and blessed are common phrases Jesus uses through the teaching in the Gospels and into the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, as well as the Sermon on the Mount, uses that phrase, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. And what I want to share again and over again is we're being invited into the blessed are group. Blessed are the ones who stay awake. Blessed are the ones. It's an invitation into being blessed and being one of. But many aren't, and I have to say that. He said, blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on so that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. The bride that has made herself ready. And then there's the bride but didn't make herself ready. There is the ones who are asleep. And there's the ones who are awake. So my challenge from Jesus is to wake up and stay awake and live awake, in tune with God, refreshed in the Holy Spirit. Not, now here's one for the church, not wake up once a week on Sunday morning. Say, okay, I better focus back on what's the Bible again? And stay awake, live awake, morning, noon, and night, awake. And I love the picture Jesus gave, not a picture, it happened. He's the most important day of his life, the event of the cross is ahead. He's praying, he's calling out to the Father, he's sweating drops of blood. And he comes back to the disciples whom he said, can you watch with me for an hour and pray? And they're sleeping. And he goes away again, he comes back, they're sleeping again, goes away again. Please watch, this is serious. They're sleeping again. Like it shows, I have a feeling that Jesus is saying to his church today, I'm coming back soon. The world is in a mess. The church needs to be strong. Wake up, be awake. Watch with me for an hour. And then he comes again. Come on, wake up. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll do that. No, wake up and stay awake. And he brings that out so many times. Live awake. Not asleep. And we want that to be true. So let me quote a couple, just what he himself says, and then we'll finish with that. Therefore, stay awake in Matthew 24:42, because you don't know on what day your Lord is coming. But know that if the master of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming when you don't expect it. Luke 12:35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And then a little farther down, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. But watch yourselves in Luke 21:34, lest your hearts, this is really puts it all into perspective. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and stand before the Son of Man. If you go through the 10 virgin story, some had oil, some didn't. And Jesus says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And when the bridegroom came, those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And then came, and he says, watch therefore. And I compare that with Revelation 19:19, where he said, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed, the ones who are awake, the ones who are ready, the ones who are living awake. And he goes on, there's so many more, but I won't read them all. But if he comes in the second or third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Be there. You must also be ready. And then I'll just throw this one in. You can interpret it. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. I like that, unless it's me. You decide what a severe beating is, but it isn't good. Be awake, be ready, like live this way. What is the garbage in the world that's drawing you in to keep you from being awake, to keep you asleep? Like, what value has it? What is going on? And then the verses we know in Thessalonians, and I won't take time to read them all. We know them well. He said, you have no need for anybody to write to you. The Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then he goes on, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 up to 6. Let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. And to the church in Sardis in the book of Revelation, Jesus writes to that church his letter. And in it he says, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. And then he goes on to say, repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you'll not know what hour that I come. We're not talking about your salvation. We're talking about the bride making herself ready, about being awake, being alert, being part of what God is doing. But stay awake at all times, he said. And finally, in the book of Revelation, and I won't go into detail again, but as you come to the end of this kingdoms of this world that are bringing them, are coming to a conclusion, I think soon, but that's, you can decide, it will happen. And it's the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and demonic spirits go out from their mouths to gather all the nations of the world together to a battle. And at that very same place, Jesus speaks into it. That's verse 14. Verse 15, Jesus said, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on that he may not go about naked and be exposed. And they assembled them at the place in the Hebrew called Armageddon. So from the beginning of his teaching to the disciples, stay awake, to the end of it, be awake, be alert, live in tune with God. Not once in a while I wake up. And then I look forward to this day, and as I get older and as I watch the world getting uglier in so many different ways, I look forward to it and hope it's soon. He said, let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. That's the bride that's awake. Then there's the bride that didn't make herself ready. And the marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the supper of the Lamb. Stay dressed. Keep your lamps burning, Jesus said. Learn of me, Jesus said. I could, and you know it, you can do it yourself, but go through the Gospels, Jesus' teaching, all the things he taught. These are two focuses. Stay awake, lose your life, like lose it. Nothing stands in the way. No, let me first do this. So PJ and Mel, Eric and Candace, you're the ones on focus today. Lose your life. With undivided heart, lose it. Step into the unknown. The unknown, step into it calmly, with confidence. But step in, and all the way. Not hand to the plow, then turn back. Not first let me go and bury my father. Not first let me see what kind of house I'm going to live in. Not, will there be a job there for my wife when we get to Timbuktu? Not anything. Renounce everything. And then stay awake. And that's my challenge for your life. And I pray God will take it by the Holy Spirit and take the beautiful teaching of Jesus, not me, his teaching, and drive it deep by his Holy Spirit into our hearts. to be the pattern for life till Jesus comes and until we meet him in that marriage supper of the Lamb and then into the battle. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.